Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I have come not to abolish the law and prophets, but to fulfill them. And unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we are continuing in the season of Epiphany, the focus of Jesus is the light of the world, the light for all the nations. The theme of light continues today in our Lord's words from the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we're going to hear about salt and light and righteousness. You know, in our everyday lives, at the supper table, we say, "Pass the salt." Or we say, "Someone turn on the light." And when our kids go out the door, we say, "Do what is right." Our Lord Jesus talks today about salt and light and righteousness. And the pictures before us today are spoken by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And all the beautiful grass that comes down to the Sea of Galilee, our Lord Jesus teaches us what it means that because He is salt, because He is light, and He is our righteousness, we can then be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and bring His righteousness into the world. To begin, Jesus uses a teaching technique that is powerful in the Sermon on the Mount. You see, when he speaks this word, first of all, saying that you are the salt and you are the light, the law tells us, I haven't been very good salt. I've lost my flavor sometimes in the world because of my sinful nature, and I've hidden the light under a basket, and I haven't lived a life of righteousness. That's the law. But then the gospel reminds us that Jesus is the salt of the earth. Jesus is the light of the world, and He gives us His righteousness. That's the gospel. And because of who we are in Jesus, connected to Him in holy baptism, and living by faith in His name, you notice that Jesus doesn't say, you ought to be or you better be salt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So that's what we look at. Salt, light, and righteousness. Isaiah in the Old Testament lesson prepared us for this coming of Christ when he described true righteousness and true fasting means coming in humility and contrition and sorrow over our sins and having received Christ, God the Father and the Spirit's forgiveness and redeeming work in our lives. We can help the oppressed, share food with the hungry, help the homeless, clothe the naked, bring the light and glory of healing of Christ into a dark and hurting world. So my friends, in Jesus, we do have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It's Jesus' righteousness who fulfills the law and prophets for us. How can it be that He is for you and me salt and light and righteousness so we can be that in the world? First, let's consider salt. Salt is used to preserve food, to season food. It's also a disinfectant, kills germs. Jesus is the true salt of the earth. He never lost His taste, if you will. It's good forever. He would be the one that would be thrown out and trampled underfoot by the people in our place upon the cross of Calvary. The darkness we deserved would sting Him. He would be salted, if you would, in His own death in our place. And the testimony of God the Father is that this one who was crucified, the power of God is manifest in Christ's death upon the cross. Where He is lifted up, there we see the true salt of the earth in our Lord Jesus Christ. But then in Jesus, we are the salt of the earth for Him. Under the law, we recognize with the old sinful nature that we have that often we actually have lost our taste. We didn't do those things that were good, and we deserve to be trampled underfoot because we've been afraid to be God's salt and cared more for what the world thought of us. But since Christ has redeemed us from that sin also, we are in holy baptism the salt of the world who can be useful seasoning for this world to restore others to God's kingdom and to make them to be a part of the kingdom of God through Jesus, the salt of the earth. I read an example of someone being the salt of the earth this past week from the Super Bowl last week. Russell Wilson, who was the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, is an outspoken Christian. And he said, "I realize that God uses my athletic abilities to give him the glory no matter who wins this game. He will enable me to tell people about Jesus even better still." Russell Wilson, this quarterback in the NFL, recognized that where he is at, he can bear witness to Christ. He can be salt in the midst of the context in which he lives. Salt, not pointing to himself, but to his Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are the salt of the earth. Then Jesus talks about light. You are the light of the world. If we're going to be the light of the world, we first go to Jesus, who said, "I am the true light of the world that lightens every man." Jesus is the city set on a hill shining. He is the lamp that's upon a stand who gives light to all the house. Jesus is the light that shines forever, and his good works glorify his Father in heaven. And the secret wisdom of God that was made manifest in the Lord of glory, the Son of the eternal God, becoming crucified, the Son of Mary upon the cross. This is where the light shone from the cross. He served his Father in heaven by allowing the punishment that we deserved to be placed upon him. And God was pleased with that sacrifice. The one who lived in the light died for we who were in the dark, so that now in Christ we no longer walk in darkness, but in the light of life. This is what the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord has given us, light. And again, Jesus doesn't say, "You better be light, you ought to be light." He says, "You are the light of the world." Because of our sinful nature, the old Adam, at times we have hidden our light. We've been ashamed of our faith and hid that lamp under a basket. At times we have not shown the light of good works to give glory to God, but we've done things to give glory to ourselves. Christ died for those sins as well. Jesus, the light of the world, says, "Though you used to walk in darkness, you now walk in light. You are connected to me. I am the head of the church, of which you are the body. Now reflecting my light, you are the light of the world. You and I are a city set high upon a hill. You and I are lamps on a stand, not hidden under a bushel. And we can do good works like a good tree bears good fruit, so that that light shines before others, and they may glorify our Father who is in heaven." I read this week about Pastor Dmitry Shestakova in Uzbekistan. And he was a missionary who, after preaching for 4 years, was thrown into prison in Uzbekistan in Central Asia for proclaiming the faith. His wife and daughters lived outside of the prison and could not often see him. Every time he would preach the gospel, they would add more years to his sentence. But he said, "The Lord placed me here in this prison so I can preach even to more people for a longer period of time." Eventually, he was released, but because the police were always outside of his house, his family was forced to leave Uzbekistan, and now he works for Voice of the Martyrs, Pastor David, proclaiming still that Jesus is the light for all the nations, whether it be in Asia or in Africa or in America. Yes, you, all of us, are to be and are the light of the world. And then lastly, Jesus speaks about righteousness. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, then how are we going to have righteousness? We don't have any. We don't have any righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. He didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets. He fulfills the entire Old Testament. He made the heavens and the earth, even though they will pass away. His word remains. All the law was accomplished in him. He kept the Ten Commandments perfectly in our place and was crucified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The kingdom of heaven has come to us in him. And his righteousness exceeds the righteousness of all people for all time. His righteousness is our clothing and our dress. The Holy Spirit brings us to the knowledge of that righteousness. For according to the preaching of the law, we realize our sinful nature doesn't like to hear the word of God. The sinful nature would like to abolish the law and the prophets. The sinful nature forgets that this heaven and earth is passing away, and the sinful nature tries to store up treasures here on earth that we can't take with us. The sinful nature tries to relax God's commandments and say, well, not all the commandments really apply to us anymore. And we try to establish our own righteousness. But when we give that up, and we realize that all is loss, then we realize we can only gain righteousness in Jesus Christ alone. He taught the law and the prophets and fulfilled them in our place. We look for the new heavens and the new earth. This is all going to pass away. We teach and hold to God's commandments. The Ten Commandments are God's moral law for all time. They do not change. They are not altered. And we hold to Christ's righteousness alone, the only hope of our entering into the kingdom of heaven and covered in the righteousness of Christ. We do have a righteousness that far exceeds all human righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Christ, which is credited to us by faith. People who understand Christ's righteousness include some of the people that are now in the Olympics. I read about a couple people, Christian people, like the speed skater Jillian Rueckert, who as a speed skater bears witness to Christ and his righteousness and forgiveness. The bobsledder Brock Kreitzberg, who says, knowing my Heavenly Father, I can never lose, even if I lose this Olympic race, because he is with me forever, truly and unconditionally. And many of you know about Lola Jones, who won the 100-meter hurdles in the Summer Olympics and is in the women's bobsledding squad. And Lola Jones is such a well-known Christian shining the righteousness of Christ that she has a Twitter account and shares Bible passages and words of encouragement every day with 370,000 people every day. She is using her role as an Olympic athlete to bear witness not to herself, but to Christ Jesus. In conclusion, since Jesus has accomplished for us all righteousness and taken away our unrighteousness, when we say things like, pass the salt, somebody turn on the light, do what is right, we know that that salt and light and righteousness is ours in Christ Jesus. And if you're a child, if you're a teenager, if you're a college student, or you're an adult, you've been taught God's word. Live a godly life. Hold to biblical values. Be frequent in the divine service. Within your vocation and calling, pray for everyone all day. Show charity and kindness to all. Serve the Lord here at church, at home, in your community. Because guess what? You have your identity, not in this world, but in Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ and in his righteousness, you and I are the salt of the earth. You and I are the light of the world. May the world see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. In Christ Jesus, amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
We now confess our